So, AJ Ahwar, which I'm sure is a pen name, who is an Afghan, married to an Afghan, wrote of the of Allah, the God of Islam, the God of the Taliban, the God of the Islamic State. What kind of God are you? Are you insane? You, God, are not understandable. I leave you right there alone in the sky. You know, that's rational. When the God of Islam in the Quran claims to be a terrorist, where the God of Islam in the Quran claims to spend all of his time in hell torturing those who don't submit to him, where the God of Islam condones rape, where the God of the Quran condones kidnapping and thievery and bearing false witness, mass murder. You know, when you've got that kind of a God, I think I would leave that kind of God right alone. That kind of God is, rather than not understandable, that kind of God is not rational. That kind of God's not moral. That kind of a God is truly insane. In fact, worse, sadistic, demonic. That's what type of God Allah is. So this was an interesting insight into Allah, the God of Islam. Now, the match was handily supplied by the country's new CEO, Abdullah Abdullah, slave to Allah, slave to Allah. Ghani is the chief rival for the presidency. You see, they went into a power-sharing deal, these two, because there was about 40% known vote fraud in the last election. About 40% of the votes calculated were fraudulent. We ought not gloat, by the way, in America. There's another story out today that another state, this one, Maryland. So we already know about Illinois, which is a place where Democrats have used all manner of disgusting tactics for vote fraud. But it's also true in Maryland and the suburbs surrounding Washington, D.C., that now the voting machines, if you vote for the Democrat, the votes are calibrated for the Democrat. If you vote for the Republican, your vote is calibrated for the Democrat. Exactly the same thing that happened in Illinois. It's demonstrating this is not an accident. And this is a great deal more prevalent in America than we want to admit. Well, anyway, they're power sharing. So Abdullah Abdullah decided that he would use this. Someone in his office found it, and they'd use it to create a protest to buoy the prestige of Abdullah Abdullah. Now, this is the man, by the way, that Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry promoted. Went there on a number of shuttle missions to get him included in the government. Well, he now orchestrated this protest against America, death to America. America had nothing to do with this. He's now trying to find his footing in the new post created for him by America in order to defuse a simmering political crisis over allegations of election fraud. Chairing a session of the Council of Ministers last week, Abdullah called for the arrest and punishment of those responsible for the offending article. So if you write an editorial in Afghanistan, you do not have freedom to do so. Nope. If you are offending the God of Islam, you have to be arrested and punished. Even if what you say is rational. Others then piled on with the powerful Islamist politician Abdul Rasul Sayyaf, most famous in the West as the man who brought Osama bin Laden to Afghanistan, calling the writer of the article a pervert and saying that he expected the government to take strict action against the paper. Well, you know, by the Islamic definition, he may well be a pervert. You see, normally you would take characteristics that were associated with Muhammad to define perversion. For example, Muhammad was incestuous. That's being a pervert. Muhammad was a rapist. I would define that as being a pervert. Muhammad was a pedophile. That would be a pervert. Muhammad was a mass murderer. That's pretty perverted. Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. That's pretty perverted. Muhammad was a kidnapper. That's perverted. Muhammad ransomed his kidnapped victims. That's perverted. Muhammad enslaved women and children. No, that's perverted. You know, Muhammad was all around a thief. That's pretty perverted. So now if all of those things, which are normally considered perverted, are considered the best possible behavior and the example to be followed, you need a whole new definition of perverted. So what's, if you were to pervert false witness, mass murder, thievery, and terrorism, what would you get? Well, the perversion of those things would be an honorable individual who is a moral individual who can think logically, who can communicate in a moral, responsible way. So by the Islamic definition, Mr. Ahwar, AJ, is a pervert. Saif coincidentally supported Abdullah in June's bitter runoff election. Rumors swirled last week that 15 members of the newspaper staff had been arrested. Then it appeared that warrants had been issued, but no arrests had been made, even though the Interior Ministry official had privately said that some Afghan Express staffers had been detained and released after the paper issued a rather clumsy apology. Why should they apologize? You know, the positions are absolutely rational. On Friday, confirmation came that the editor had indeed been arrested and the newspaper offices had been closed. We don't want people telling the truth, do we? We don't want anybody encouraging others to think. After the events, they followed a fairly predictable course. Demonstrations, calls for the author's imprisonment and death. The outrage on Twitter, with some wondering why the U.S. was still supporting such a retrograde country. The U.S. isn't involved in this, pals. I mean, you can blame the U.S. for a lot of things. This really isn't one of them. Blasphemy cases are nothing new in Afghanistan and almost invariably excite international interest. One of the most prominent was Abdul Rahman, an Afghan who converted to Christianity only to face the death penalty for apostasy under Sharia law. Yeah, it's not under just Sharia law. The Quran says if a Muslim recants his faith, kill him. Then President Hamid Karzai found himself caught in a loophole of the Afghan constitution, which guarantees freedom of religion on one hand and the primacy of Islamic law on the other. You can't have freedom of religion and Sharia law. Sharia law opposes the practice of all religions other than Islam. It's impossible. Abdul Rahman was released after Afghan officials hinted that he might be insane, and he was given asylum in Italy. To give up Islam for Christianity is insane. It's just going from worst to bad. Parwez Kambakhsh was also imprisoned for blasphemy after downloading materials from an internet that defamed Islam and the Prophet. He had, how do you defame Islam? I mean, Islam is responsible for destroying everything it's touched. Everything that Islam has ever touched has been destroyed. And Muhammad wasn't a prophet. He didn't get a single prophecy right. He even admitted in his Quran that he couldn't predict the future, that he was not a prophet. And on top of all of that, he was the most perverted, despicable man who ever lived. How do you defame such a thing? Call it good? He had a death sentence commuted to 20 years, and after some intense lobbying by foreign embassies, was also sent abroad. The problem with the present case is that the perpetrator is outside the country, and instead his colleagues are being held accountable. Perpetrator. You know, man just said, you know, what's wrong with the God of Islam? What's wrong with the God of the Taliban, Allah? What's wrong with the God of the Islamic State? The editor's name has not been released, and the government has not responded to a request for comment. But the Afghan Express itself hinted at its discomfort with the situation in a statement. We, the Afghan Express management team, deeply apologize for this mistake. We strongly condemn ideas and contents that were published to use this mistake for their political and individual purposes. Huh? You know, if that's the best you can write, you ought not be publishing a newspaper, Express or otherwise. What we have here is just another confirmation that Islam is rotten to the core. It doesn't allow free speech. It's at war with the truth. It's at war with anyone who uses evidence and reason. Anyone who can think is lethal to Islam. And so Islam is universally opposed, riotously opposed. Death to anyone who would dare question the reprehensible prophet and God of Islam. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi authorized his military to protect state facilities. He essentially established martial law. He used the great conspiracy, in his words, and this foreign threat against the very existence of Egypt, manufacturing a boogeyman for the express purpose of giving himself more authority, more power, more control. And so now it gives the army the right to secure sites like power plants, roads, bridges, public buildings, parks, you name it. Welcome to the dictatorship of Egypt. The dictator was gone. Long live the dictator. The critics say that it allows the army to return to the streets and bring back military trials for civilians. Yes, and just think, America, you are responsible for this dictator. You educated him, you trained him, and you fund him. He's yours. Iran's government conducted a raid on the Easter services of Christians. They arrested the Christians, and they subjected Christians to death threats. They abused them physically and psychologically, and then they shut down and destroyed even the licensed churches, according to a UN report. So Iran, which is, claims that the West is corrupt, had a number of churches that it had licensed to operate, under extreme restrictions. And then went in on a raid, government raid, during an Easter service, which is a pagan holiday, mind you, arrested the Christians and subjected them to death threats, physical and psychological abuse, and then shut down their churches. According to the United Nations, at least 49 Protestant Christians are currently imprisoned, many for involvement in informal house churches. And April of 2014, security forces reportedly raided an Easter service in a private home in southern Tehran and detained more individuals. The UN report chronicles the closure of churches and the arrests of their pastors for holding services in Persian or for allegedly ministering to Iranians from Muslim backgrounds. Tehran also has cracked down on Christian community websites, including blocking their reception, and Christian converts have been expelled from Iranian universities. You have to ask yourself, why are Muslims so afraid? Why are they so afraid of choice? Why are they so afraid of providing people with an option? Now, I'm as opposed to Christianity as I am to Islam. I think both are very similarly demonic. I think both are insanely stupid as religions. And there was a period of time where Christians were afraid of other religions and tortured anyone who accepted or promoted any religion other than state-sanctioned Christianity. But they're not doing it today, and Muslims are. So here in a world where information is ubiquitous, what are Muslims so afraid of? Do they recognize that their religion is so fragile, so frail, so obviously false, that when people are given an option, that they will choose anything other than Islam, if given the choice? Are they that afraid of free will? The answer is obviously yes. Shahid's report documents the lack of due process afforded religious and ethnic minorities across the spectrum in Iran, ranging from Jews to Baha'is to Sunni Arabs, to Americans and Kurds, or Armenians, I should say, and Kurds. Yeah, it's the nature of Islam. It's racist, and it is opposed to all religions other than the state-sponsored form of Islam. It is intolerant. It is opposed to free will. Freedom and Islam are the antithesis of each other. Truth and Islam are the antithesis of each other. That's just the reality. Study Islam. If you invest the time to study Islam, and you have the ability to exercise good judgment, if you still have the capacity to be rational as an individual, you'll come to exactly the same conclusion, that Islam is opposed to free will, therefore choice, and Islam is in opposition to the truth. Baha'i international communities and international Iranian Christian leaders have added that many of the lawyers who had accepted sensitive Baha'i or Christian cases have been imprisoned. Among the religious minorities languishing in Iranian prisons, as an American citizen and Christian pastor, Saeed Abedini, who has spent more than 2 years behind bars for allegedly promoting Christianity in Iran. Abedini, who was born in Iran but was living in Boise, Idaho with his wife, when he was arrested on a visit to his homeland, claims that he was in Iran to help establish a secular orphanage. President Obama has called for Iran to release him, but no, the Iranians aren't going to do that because there will be no choice in religion. Before his June 2013 election, Rouhani famously promised all ethnicities, all religions, even religious minorities, must feel justice. Long live citizenship rights. Yeah, right. You're dealing with a government that is a theocracy based on the Quran, based upon Muhammad, based upon Allah. There are no rights. There is no justice. There is no freedom of any kind. But Shahid and other human rights experts say that the reality is strikingly different. Welcome to the most overtly religious country in the world. The state of freedom of religion, by the way, you know, if you're Ben Affleck, you did a movie on the Iranian government response to Americans, where the overtly religious, fundamentally religious Iranian government kidnapped and imprisoned, maltreated American diplomats. And you can't figure out that there's something wrong with Islam. This is a country that is resolutely Islamic. That the government is resolutely Islamic. It is more religion than it is politic when it comes to Iran. And their behavior is reprehensible. And you can't figure out that maybe Islam in practice is really rotten to the core? You aren't capable of figuring that out? Maybe you're stupid. The state of freedom and the state of options in religion in Iran is degrading, according to the Deputy Director of Policy and Research at the U.S. Commission on International Rights and Freedoms. Everything in Iran relative to choice and religion and freedom is deteriorating. Maybe Ben Affleck, that claims to be an expert on Iranian Islam, might want to consider that. Rouhani should not have made promises. He is not a reformer, said Javed Dafar, who likened Rouhani to a man who wants to change the dosage of medicine for the regime in order to save it. In contrast, a reformer seeks to change the medicine and usher in an open press. This was never heard from Rouhani. This is John Dafar is one of Israel's leading experts on Iran. The fact is that Rouhani is not a moderate. Never was a moderate. That was a myth promoted in the West. Rouhani was a attaché of the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini. He facilitated his return to Iran. He was eye deep in the kidnapping of the American embassy officials and staff. He was a top commander during the Iran-Iraq War. He's a hardliner. He's a fundamentalist Muslim hardliner. It's just the stupidity of the West that can't figure these things out. It's the reason that he's president, really, is because he is being rewarded for having run interference for Iran's nuclear program. Mohammad Javid Larijani, the secretary of Iran's Human Rights Council. That's funny, Iran having a Human Rights Council. There are no human rights in Iran. You have the right to be a Muslim. You have the right to surrender and submit to our interpretation of Islam. You have the right to have no fun. You know, it's 100 lashes if you dance. We've witnessed that. It's it's death if you choose a different religion. You have the right to submit to our authority. That's your human right. He rejected Shahid's report and comments Sunday on the website and the Fars News Agency, but that's what Muslims do. They lie. We have serious problems with the special rapporteur, and since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, Ahmed Shahid is the third UN special rapporteur. We do not want Shahid to be our friend. We only say that he should take his political stances against Iran. He's not opposed to Iran, not even opposed to Iranians. He's opposed to the Islamic regime that is opposed to all mankind. Larijani, who has defended the stoning of women and who has denied the Holocaust at a German foreign ministry event, alleged that Shahid insulted Islam. Well, it's true that Shahid spoke out against Islam. He didn't mention Islam, but Islam is the source of this total lack of freedom, this total lack of choice, the total lack of human rights, this despicable regime. Islam is at the heart of all of their malfeasance. He's right. And Larijani, who is the head of the Human Rights Council of Iran, he is a good Muslim, defending the stoning of women, denying the Holocaust. Yes, indeed. Islam is more destructive. It is deadlier. It is far worse than Ebola. It needs to be quarantined. Coalition forces handed over, and I mentioned this earlier, a huge base in Afghanistan, and all U.S. Marines have left the deadly region of Afghanistan. This is Camp Leatherneck. It's a sprawling desert complex that the Marines have been packing up to close for weeks. The corporal responsible for this said, "I'm sure there's going to be people asking me, did we make a difference in Afghanistan?" He's been fighting there for 6 months in the Helmand province. "I hope we did. I know we did. And hopefully it stays that way. But for how long, I'm not sure." Good grief, folks. We did make a difference in Afghanistan. We made a bad situation worse. It is one of the things that we do with reckless abandon. We invaded a country and helped to take it back to the 7th century. We killed a lot of people. We promoted a lot of political fraud. We made a mess of things. And Afghanistan, once we leave, will be no different than how we found it, save the fact that a lot of people are dead, a lot of buildings have crumbled. So it is a tragedy. So this idea, did we make a difference? I'm not sure. I can say that we took a very bad situation and we made it worse. If that's a difference, then yes, we did. Is that hopeful? No, it's not. Is there going to be any way of knowing whether or not Afghanistan will be different once we leave? I can tell you that right now. In fact, I told everyone who would listen that now 13 years ago when we invaded Afghanistan. I said that when we eventually leave, it will be as if we were never there. All of the lives that were lost, all of the money that was squandered, will be for naught. That is the absolute certain fate for Afghanistan. It will be as if we were never there, except for the rubble that we have left and the blood that we spilt along the way. There have been 2,210 U.S. military deaths in Afghanistan since 2001. If you look at allied troops and civilians, the number is three times that. If you then consider Afghani civilians, it's many hundreds of times that. The original aim was to defeat the Al-Qaeda-linked militants who had planned the 9/11 attacks, but it wasn't Al-Qaeda that planned 9/11. Ramzi Youssef plans 9/11. He was already a prisoner of the U.S. government because he also planned the first bombing of the World Trade Center, the one from the bottom up as opposed from the top down. And Al-Qaeda was an American ally. America created Al-Qaeda, funded Al-Qaeda, used Al-Qaeda in a proxy war against the Soviets. And Al-Qaeda is not who we fought in Afghanistan. We fought the Taliban, did not fight Al-Qaeda. And the Taliban is an agency of the very government that we have aided and abetted in this war, Pakistan. They're as strong today as they were when we invaded Afghanistan. They're as deadly today as they were. They're as indoctrinated and corrupted with Islam as they ever were. This article says what seemed like a simple objective at the time morphed into a complex battle, not only against violent extremists. There were no violent extremists. There were Muslims. That's who we fought. We fought Muslims. Against poverty. Islam creates poverty. Against drugs. We actually brought the drugs back to Afghanistan. And against corruption, which was wholly our fault. Ala Abd Fattah is an influential Egyptian blogger. He was arrested in court on Monday in Cairo as he appealed a 15-year sentence for violating Egypt's ban on attending an unsanctioned protest. Yes, Egypt now is wholly a military state, completely and totally dictatorial. There's no justice system. There's no free press. There's no freedom of any kind in Egypt. All of this hell is being funded too by the United States, which provides virtually 100% of the Egyptian military budget. Egypt, which is 91% Islamic, there is a very small percentage of Copt Christians who are being persecuted by Muslims, being kidnapped by them, being tortured by them, being burned alive by them, being raped by them. But other than that small minority of Copt Christians, and Egypt was almost exclusively Christian before the Islamic invasion, Egypt is an Islamic country. 91% Islamic. This is the consequence of Islam. No free speech. No freedom of movement or assembly. No freedoms at all. It's not just Iran. It's also Egypt. So Ben Affleck, next time you're asked, put in a position where someone makes a correct statement about Islam, where they say that Islam is the mother lode of bad ideas. Rather than open your mouth and speak on behalf of Islam, shut up. It doesn't matter where you turn. If a country has an Islamic majority, it's a hellish place to live. Freedoms are deprived. Educational opportunity is curtailed. Economic opportunity is deprived. There's no freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. His lawyer, Mahmoud Bial, described Abd el-Fattah's latest arrest as part of an intensifying effort to stifle the voices of the activists behind the anti-authoritarian uprising that began in January 2011. Yeah, there were some people that were opposed to the military state that America was supporting in Egypt, Mubarak's Egypt as dictator. And so these activists rose up thinking, oh boy, we'll get rid of the dictator. And they brought in a popular vote, the only popular vote in the history of Egypt. And three quarters of the Egyptians voted for the two most fundamentalist Islamic parties, the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salaf Fundamentalist Party. And so, in the midst of all of that, as Egypt was cratering economically, as war was declared on Egypt's Copt Christians, the government was taken over in a coup, a military coup by Sisi. It's back right now to a dictatorship. And so what of these peace activists, these freedom fighters? It's exactly what I told you would happen. Dateline Baghdad. As America continues to bomb on behalf of the Kurds, the area just south of the Turkish border, without Turkish support or permission, and is focused on Kobane. The Islamic State seems to be focused on Baghdad. A suicide bomber driving a military Humvee struck a checkpoint manned by Iraqi troops and pro-government Shiite militiamen. It's interesting that they would be working together. This should, you know, if America were rational, if America government were moral, this alliance, which of course America knows all about, would cause it to leave Iraq. And that is that the military that America has equipped and funded in Iraq, the military that is controlled by the Shiite government, that is controlled by the mullahs in Tehran, the very ones we considered in the last article, who are deadly to Christians, fully against all freedoms of any kind, that military works in harmony with Shiite militias. That the Shiite militias, many of which are Iranian, that the Shiite militias and the American equipped military in Iraq are side by side, integrated. That is who the Islamic State is fighting against. It's actually in our interest. One time we used to provide weapons, including chemical and biological weapons, and CIA intelligence to Saddam Hussein so that he could fight that same foe. Because we didn't like Iran. But now America is supplying the weapons and the intelligence and bombing on behalf of those Shiite militias against Sunni militias. We've changed sides. Now, if you're irrational, you'd say you ought not be doing that. That is really stupid. But anyway, they killed 24 people in that attack. No one claimed responsibility. It took place outside of a Sunni town of Jurf al-Sakar, 50 kilometers, 30 miles south of Baghdad. The Islamic State militants lost control of the town the previous day when Iraqi soldiers and the Shiite militia retook Jurf al-Sakar from the Sunni Islamic group. The Islamic State group had seized the town in July as part of its blitz earlier this year that they, you know, have captured large swaths of northern and western Iraq. On Monday's attack, the bomber ran his explosive-laden Humvee into the checkpoint. 25 people were wounded in addition to the 24 that were killed. In the wake of the Islamic State's advances, Shiite militias in the country have answered the call by Iraq's top Shiite cleric, the Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, to join government forces in the fight against the Sunnis. Yes, it's a religious war. The war in Syria, the war in Iraq is a religious war. It's Sunnis against Shia. That's all it is. Why is America engaged in a war like that? Particularly since America's on the side of the Sunnis in Syria, except when it's bombing the Sunnis in Syria. We aided and armed the Sunni rebels in Syria to fight the Shia regime. But then when the Sunnis that we armed joined forces with the awakening programs Sunnis that we had armed in Iraq and went after the Shias in Iraq, we didn't like that because those were our Shias that we had armed and that we had propped up as a government giving Iraq to the Shias. And so now in both countries, there's a religious civil war between Sunni and Shia, and America is arming both sides and opposing both sides. I mean, it's as if the exposure to Islam has made America's leadership insane. This is pure insanity. And, you know, you can talk to anybody on both sides of the aisle in Washington, and they both want to support the rebels against the Assad regime, and they both want to fight the Islamic State. They both think that we ought to bomb on behalf of the Shiite militia in Iraq. It's insane. It's a religious civil war. Let them fight it out. We just need to leave. Stop arming them. Stop aiding them.